Hello, I'm Michelle Grattan, and this is the Conversations Politics Podcast. The controversy around the postal vote on same-sex marriage has been drowned out this week by the crisis over citizenship that's engulfed the government. But preparations are proceeding apace for the ballot, which is called a survey by the government because, to get around the lack of legislative approval, it's being run by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Today we talk to the Acting Minister of State, Matthias Cormann, who's overseeing the vote, seeking to bring you some answers to the many questions that are being asked about the detail. Matthias Cormann, how precisely will the question be phrased on the ballot paper, and can you just remind us of the timetable?
Well, the question on the survey form to be sent out by the IBS will be the same question as has previously been flagged. It's a very simple question which will say, should the law be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry? And then there will be a box with a yes and a box with a no, and people will be able to indicate their preference. Now, I mean, the key dates, people have to enroll by the 24th of August, by midnight, the 24th of August, 2017.
So get the running shoes on.
That's, that was 2 weeks from the time of the announcement. From the 12th of September, 2017, is when we have indicated that survey forms would start to be sent out. Next key date is that the IBS is strongly encouraging everyone to get their responses back by the 27th of October, but forms will continue to be accepted until Tuesday, the 7th of November, and then the final result of the survey would be announced by the IBS on Wednesday, the 15th of November.
Just one point of detail there. You say that the papers will start to be sent out from that day, from the 12th. Will they be sent out over a time?
Well, they'll be sent out from the 12th of September, and they'll be sent out as quickly as possible. I mean, they'll be...
Not all on one day.
Well, there'll be nearly 16 million survey forms, so you're quite right. They won't all be able to be sent on the one day, so it'll be staggered, but it'll be staggered very quickly. And obviously, the IBS has advised me that they will be prioritising those areas where it might take a little bit longer to get the mail to and from. They'll get all of it out as fast as they can.
How many extra people have got themselves on the roll since this enrolment started?
Well, since we announced the marriage law postal survey through the IBS and the fact that all Australians on the electoral roll who are eligible to vote could participate, the size of the roll has increased by nearly 33,000. So that's nearly 33,000 new enrolments, and more than 350,000 Australians have updated their details on the electoral roll in one way or the other. So, people are certainly getting their details on the electoral roll in order.
Do you have any idea of the age breakdown of these new enrolments?
No, the electoral roll is not currently broken. I mean, the ISC does not currently have an age breakdown.
One of the issues that's been raised is that younger people will be less likely to be on the roll and also less familiar with the postal service, and this could mean the result becomes more unrepresentative. Are you making any special efforts to reach this cohort of younger people?
Well, firstly, I don't accept the premise. I mean, obviously the Electoral Commission, as a matter of course, has got strategies in place to ensure young people are enrolled, as a matter of course. In fact, they do have the methodology of provisional enrollment of 16 and 17-year-olds to ensure that people, when they turn 18, can be on the electoral roll proper and in a position to participate in elections. And, of course, we are going through a process now where we are encouraging people to enroll. And, our belief is that those Australians who feel strongly one way or the other will ensure that they will have the opportunity to have their say, and certainly we encourage all Australians to do so. Now, we are going through a process at the moment where we are running an advertising campaign to encourage every eligible Australian to ensure that they are either newly enrolled, if this is the first time they'll get the opportunity to participate, or to make sure that their details are up to date. And, I'm very confident that young people are able to figure out how to deal with a letter. I mean, the truth is that right now, under our electoral system as it stands, the Electoral Commission communicates with all Australians at the physical address that they are enrolled. I mean, that is not a new phenomenon. That is something that is what takes place in the ordinary course of events.
There was a bit of confusion a few days ago about 16 and 17-year-olds. There's a provision for provisional enrolment, but, of course, they can't vote till they're 18.
Well, there was no confusion at all, but some people sought to raise the question. I understand, you know, why they tried to run that argument, but the truth is the very clear intention and the advice on the effect of the Treasurer's determination to the ABS always was that only those on the electoral roll and eligible to vote, that is Australians aged 18 years and over, would be participating in this survey. But because the question was raised, and to put it completely beyond doubt and make it absolutely clear, I've issued a further direction to the Australian statistician to make it absolutely explicit that those Australians who get to participate in the survey are those that are on the electoral roll and eligible to participate in an election.
Now, a High Court challenge has been brought to the ballot, and this is to be heard on September 5 and 6. Would you expect a decision immediately, or how long after?
Well, look, that is entirely a matter for the High Court, and you know, I would not presume to give advice to the High Court in relation to this. I mean, the government obviously made the decisions that we made because we believe that the course of action that we've chosen is constitutional and legal. But this is now a matter for the High Court, and you know, the process matters, and the timing of the decision is a matter for the High Court.
Obviously, the whole timetable is very tight. Is this challenge affecting in any way preparations for the vote?
It's not affecting preparations. I mean, all parties before the High Court in relation to this, you know, have reached an understanding, and we've made undertakings to the court that we would not, or the statistician would not, start to send out survey forms until this, you know, prior to 12 September 2017, and until this issue has been resolved through the High Court, and that is obviously an undertaking that the Australian statistician will comply with.
If the ballot was knocked out by the High Court, what would happen about the money that would have already been spent?
I don't accept the premise. I mean, I'm not going to make a judgment now based on what is a hypothetical, but, you know, obviously the money that is spent has been spent.
And how many staff of the Statistics Bureau are involved in this whole operation, and how many are being seconded from the Electoral Commission?
The ABS has advised the Senate Finance and Public Administration Committee yesterday that they've got a task force of around 40 people now, and there's a very small number of Electoral Commission officers involved at present. We expect, obviously, as the process ramps up and as we get into the active phase of this process, that the numbers will increase.
And what security measures will be in place to guard against irregularities?
Under the Census and Statistics Act, there are a whole range of integrity measures in place, you know, all the time. I mean, there's, you know, the ABS runs surveys all the time. They run, of course, a very comprehensive survey every 5 years involving the whole population, which is our census. So, I mean, they are very experienced and have all of the necessary powers and authorities under their legislation to ensure that integrity is maintained.
Presumably the ballot papers that are sent out will have identifiers to make sure that they go to the right people and that there are no fake papers and so on. How do you address privacy concerns in this instance?
Well, I mean, the survey forms, the survey forms obviously are sent to people on the electoral roll, and there is a process to ensure that the survey forms are sent to the right people, and that when they come back, that they've been received back from the right people, and that obviously there are integrity measures to ensure that people can only express a view once and so on. But the way the system is set up, and that through the ABS methodology, is no one will be able to connect the an actual expression of a view with an individual on the electoral roll. I mean, they've put processes in place to ensure that there is no capacity for anyone to be able to identify how individual Australians have expressed their view on this question.
Because there was some controversy, wasn't there, over the census that went to these matters of privacy?
Well, I mean, as the deputy Australian statistician said to the Senate Economic Senate Committee yesterday, obviously the most recent census, you know, was a learning experience for them, and they've learned a lot of the lessons from that exercise and have been able to feed those learnings into this process that they're going through now.
Fairly painful learning experience, as it turned out. Now, there's been speculation that there might be special legislation to deal with hate speech and the like. Is there going to be any provision about this? Because, of course, because it's been done through the ABS, the same provisions don't apply as would apply if it was done through the Electoral Commission.
Well, the first point to make here is that our first preference, of course, always was to conduct a full compulsory personal attendance plebiscite under the auspices of the Electoral Commission and within the electoral laws framework, but the Parliament wasn't prepared to go along with that. So we going now through a different, we're taking a different approach. We're going through the ABS and conducting a postal survey in order to keep faith with our commitment to give all Australians the opportunity to have a say in relation to this. But, you know, obviously, so that means that not all of the usual safeguards that would apply in the context of an election do apply. There are a whole range of legal protections, of course, that are always there, no matter which way these sorts of processes are run. But we have said in a, you know, in good faith, we are happy to explore how we might be best able to ensure that all of the necessary safeguards that would normally apply in an election context could be put in place here. We want this process to be fair and for Australians to have the opportunity to have their say in the right environment. And so we are, you know, exploring at the moment how that can best be done. We understand that in the first instance, though, the High Court needs to settle the question as to, you know, the challenges that have been brought forward by some, because I think that people who are seeking to challenge what we're proposing to do would not want to take any steps that could be seen to be undermining the opportunity for them to be successful. So we believe that probably the earliest opportunity for us to consider through the Parliament legislation that can put these additional safeguards on things like authorisations of campaign material and the like into place would be after the High Court has settled on the two challenges that have been brought to our survey.
And when you say explore, in the first instance, presumably you would be exploring with the opposition to try and get any measures through quickly.
Well, we want this process to be fair to both sides of the argument. You know, obviously, you know, once the High Court has settled the challenges and not wanting to talk for anyone, but I suspect that there would be a consensus, broad consensus across the Parliament that it would be desirable to ensure that the usual safeguards that would apply in an election context should apply in this context. And, you know, I'm quite confident that in the context where the High Court decides that what we are doing is indeed constitutional and legal and that it can proceed, then I would expect that the Parliament would very quickly reach agreement on putting in place the necessary safeguards.
What about people who are overseas, in hospital, homeless, in remote areas, silent voters on the silent roll? What provisions have you made for these people?
Well, you know, the ABS is working through all of these arrangements, and, you know, the commitment is to give every Australian, every eligible Australian who is on the electoral roll, the opportunity to have their say. And there are obviously some people where it will be harder to reach them and for them to get the survey forms back in the postal form, and the ABS is working through arrangements to ensure that Australians living in remote areas, defence personnel on deployment, those Australians located in the Antarctic, you know, Australians living overseas, they're working through arrangements to ensure that they can have their say and participate as efficiently as possible. They're looking, as I've said yesterday in the Senate committee, they're looking at options through phones and through the phone and perhaps even online. And they will be making further announcements in relation to this by about 22 August. Remember, like, this process doesn't actually kick off until the survey forms start to get sent out on 12 September. So there's still a bit of time to get all of these practical arrangements put in place.
When we get the results, how much detail will we get? As you say, this is a survey, or at least it's been called a survey. we'll get an electorate by electorate breakdown of results, but will we get gender and age breakdowns too, and any other details?
So when it comes to the results, we will get a breakdown by electoral division. So every federal seat, we will know how every federal seat has voted. We will know how every state and territory has voted, and we'll, of course, know a result nationally. When it comes to the breakdowns by age and gender and the like, that will not be able to show how different demographics have voted. But what it will be able to show is, to what extent different demographics have participated. Because obviously, because of the privacy issues that we've discussed before, there is no capacity to link the decision in a survey form or the express view in a survey form with individual Australians. And consequently, there will not be a capacity to show how individual demographics, you know, different age groups or different, like male, female, how they've voted, but we certainly will be able to say how different age groups and how different, you know, how male and female have participated.
One issue that's emerged in the campaigning so far is that many people would like to know precisely what will be the safeguards for those with religious commitments in the subsequent legislation that the government will facilitate. And yet, as you mentioned, the question is just broad and there's no detail about the shape of a subsequent bill if there's a yes vote. Why has the decision been taken not to have a draft bill out there so people know that?
Well, I mean, there is a draft bill out there, and that is, of course, the Dean Smith bill. But what the government, and that is a private member's bill, I mean, what the government has said is that if the outcome of the plebiscite is a yes, then we will facilitate consideration of a private member's bill. We will not be putting forward a government bill. We will facilitate consideration by the parliament of a private member's bill to change the law to allow same-sex couples to marry. That is in the context of a yes vote. Now, the ultimate shape of that bill will be a matter for the parliament. I mean, that is by definition the way private members' bill operate. It's not going to be a matter for the government to determine what the content of the bill is. It's going to be a matter for the parliament.
I see that you're responding a lot to questions that are coming through Twitter and indeed to some of the personal abuse, we might call it, that you've been copping. Do you think people are using social media a great deal in this campaign, both to get information and to advance their own views?
Well, it obviously is getting used increasingly. I mean, I guess what is important to me is that this debate is conducted respectfully and courteously, and I believe that people from both sides of the argument who abuse the other side of the argument are not helping their cause. And I mean, that is an entirely neutral statement for me to make. I don't believe that either side of the argument helps their cause when they hurl abuse at the other side of the argument. The truth is that good people across Australia have strongly and sincerely held views on both sides of this argument. And the reason we're going through this process is to give every Australian the opportunity to have their say. And what I would say to all Australians is express your view with your conscience based on what you believe is the right way forward. But for those of you who are campaigning for either the yes or the no case, please campaign with courtesy and respect.
Just finally, Matthias Cormann, you're not campaigning as you're overseeing the process, but you're on record as an opponent of same-sex marriage. If the vote passes, there'll be a free vote on the private member's bill to implement that decision. Will you personally vote for the bill in that circumstance, in other words, in line with the national majority, or would you feel that you would follow the vote in Western Australia, or would you deal with the matter according to your own personal conscience?
Well, firstly, I've got to pick up the way you framed this. I know that everyone wants to frame things as opposition to what I would say. I mean, yes, I mean, firstly, I will not be campaigning. Secondly, yes, my personal view has been on the record for a long time, and I support the current definition of marriage as between a man and a woman. But I've also long been on the public record to say that I will respect the outcome of this postal survey. I will respect the judgment of the Australian people through this process. And if the answer, if the Australian people by a majority vote indicate that they support the law to be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry, then I will vote in favour.
Matthias Cormann, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today. And that's all from our Conversations Politics podcast. Thank you to my producer, Eliza Berlage, and we'll be back with another interview soon. Goodbye for now.